Good. Okay. Okay, Jeff, would you let us know what you're sharing about? And then the floor is yours. Should I time you? I'll give you a.
Is it 15?
Yes.
15, yeah, I know that. I'll time myself. I'll time myself, and
Right.
you don't have to sweat it. I'm going to talk about page 62. That okay? Step three. There, Lonnie gave me a thumbs up, so I know I'm on the right track. Hello, are you we're ready? Is this thing on? Testing one. Hi, my name is Jeff Ricketts, and I'm a recovered Al-Anon, currently working the BBA process in controlling, fixing, chaos creating, a grateful member of the Al-Anon community since 1989, when I went to my first meeting at the Church of the Epiphany on the Upper East Side of New York. Just get with God for a second. It's really hard to speak at your home group meeting, I find because I feel like everybody's already heard everything that I've experienced. But I'm going through the steps again, and the whole great thing about BBA is that I get to set aside everything I think I know for an open mind and a brand new experience each time I encounter the book, and that's what I'm having now. And what I like about this process is that most of the work is done with the book, with this book, and me, and God. And going within for the answers. And so I feel like I'm here at this meeting with a lot of winners. And you guys keep pointing me back to where the solution is, which is deep down within here. And that the more I form this relationship with this all-powerful guiding creative intelligence, as it says in the second step, that my life just gets better. Yeah, it just gets better, just gets good. And I've experienced that, and I'm going through it again, and I'm not going to lie, I'm a little ornery from wrestling with some of these third step questions, the third step story. The whole idea of ego rebuilding is very familiar to me. And it always seems like a new idea once I reach this paragraph, this first paragraph on 62. And I'll talk about it in just a second. But before I do, I just wanted to say thank you to all of the people that have helped me in this process. Bo T from Alabama, Joe C from Alabama, Jason O, Jack C from La Cunada. I mean, people have really, really held my hand through this process over the years, given their time, given countless hours, and I marvel that we're a group of people, that group of sick people that built the hospital and that helped each other up. It's really marvelous, and I still have lots of work to do. So what I just want to read page 20 first. A little section in 20, it says, no, 21. It's the Jekyll and Hyde portion, and it says, he often possesses special abilities, skills, and aptitudes, and has a promising career ahead of him. He uses his gifts to build up a bright outlook for his family and himself, and then pulls the structure down on his head by a senseless series of sprees. That I underlined. It says here to underline everything you can relate to in terms of the Jekyll and Hyde story. And that's something that I feel like I was, that God gifted me with certain special abilities and talents. And some of you know that I'm an actor, and that I was drawn to that from an early age, and I pursued that as a career. And when I read that, or when I read it this last time, it really stuck out to me that the thing that I had natural gifts toward was in a way the thing that I so expertly blew up at every turn. So something didn't seem right about that. And then I want to jump to page 34. And it says, many of us felt that we had plenty of character. There was a tremendous urge to cease forever, yet we found it impossible. This is the baffling feature of controller, fixer, alcoholism-related diseases as we know it. This utter inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. So that, for me, that's what the baffled experience was, is that being blessed with a certain amount of special abilities and talents and capacities, whatever you want to call them, that the controller, fixer, chaos creator thing that was developing over time in my life would not go away, no matter how much I wished it. And I was baffled. It's interesting too, because every time I do one of these speaker things, I meditate beforehand, and something turns up that is completely unrelated to the share, or it's you know, maybe it's a God thing. What I wanted to share was that when growing up alcoholism, there were six kids, and my father was pretty out of control in his alcoholism, and you know, he couldn't get the pay envelopes home, you know, the whole thing that some of the AA literature says, you know, an armored car couldn't get the pay envelopes to come to the mother because it was Friday and it was payday, and he would get paid in cash and he'd go right to the bar. And so my mom was a cashier at a Giant Food for most of my childhood. And actually, they actually paid well, and they gave benefits to her. But she was basically functioned as a single mother to us six kids. And my older brother and my younger brother got involved in PCP and heroin very soon upon being teenagers. And my older sister, she got pregnant very soon with 16 and had to move out of the house. And she was involved in the kind of social welfare system. And my eldest sister moved to Florida when she was 16, and she developed alcoholism not long thereafter. And so there was part of me growing up where I was a straight A student at school, and I exceeded in those things, those sparkly things that were, hang on a second, I want to make sure I'm timing myself. I'm actually not, I didn't set the timer. So am I about, would you say I'm about 8 minutes in?
I am timing you, Jeff, and you have okay. 6.5 minutes left.
Okay, good, thanks. It's just one of these things where, let me get to the topic here, selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of Jeff's troubles. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, Jeff steps on the toes of his fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt Jeff seemingly without provocation, but Jeff invariably finds that at some time in the past, he made decisions based on self, which later placed Jeff in a position to be hurt. And this is very, very hard to swallow for an Al-Anon, a beat up Al-Anon or codependent that comes into the rooms. It was for me. It certainly was for me. And it's only been repeated attempts at this and the BBA process where I can really see myself in those words. And in the meditation, what happened was it was revealed to me that I really did think that I was special. I was the special one in the family because I didn't gravitate toward drugs or alcohol, or I was a straight A student, and I went on to be the first person to go to college. So I really felt that the thing that was protecting me, the thing that where I felt just a little more special than the people around me, was the thing that would boomerang back on me later on. So for me, this program has this expert way of tying together the decisions that I made based on self at some time in the past with the present. It kind of ties that string together. Like, oh, I see, I made that decision way back then, that old idea. I just want to read this. This is all disjuncted, but that's how it came out with me today. This is from C.S. Lewis. He says, I pointed out a moment ago that the more pride one had, the more one disliked pride in others. In fact, if you want to find out how proud you are, the easiest way is to ask yourself, how much do I dislike it when other people snub me or refuse to take any notice of me or shove their oar in or patronize me or show off? The point is that each person's pride is in competition with everyone else's pride. It is because I wanted to be the big noise at the party that I'm so annoyed at someone else being the big noise. Two of a trade never agree. Now what you want to get clear is that pride is essentially competitive, is competitive by its very nature, while the other vices are competitive only, so to speak, by accident. So I feel like this is the deeper level for me in the third step, in being able to see, and of course it'll play out more specifically in column four, the fourth step, and column three. But this part that of the old ideas and the beliefs that I picked up along the way as a protective, I really did think that I was better than my family, and that I would go out into the world and I had a special assignment because I had survived alcoholism. This belief really, really put me into what it talks about, into collision with the other people, places, and situations, and made relationships really, really difficult. I'm experiencing a lot of the promises today, but right now I'm in step three again. And what I notice about step three is, each time, and we were talking about this, Murph was talking about this on Monday, how each time I read this, the words really jump out at me in a new way, in a new and different way. And I thank God that I have the blinders have come off to a large degree, and there's more to do. But it says, am I ready to make the decision that hereafter God will direct my life? Am I ready to make the decision that hereafter I will represent what God would have me be? And am I ready to make the decision that hereafter I will trust that God will provide what I need? Well, the first time I did that, I said, am I ready to make the decision that God will provide what I need? And I said, yes, I'm definitely ready to make it. And this time I read it through, and am I ready to make the decision that hereafter I will trust that God will provide what I need? And that's been really the rock in my shoe of recovery, is that I have this great relationship with a higher power. And The trust part, trust, try using step three, as we say in Al-Anon, is it's like my sponsor says, I have this fantastic new car that I'm that drives me around. This is my higher power, or that it takes me around, this new automobile that will get me places, get me to where I'm going a lot more easily. And that I love the interior, and I sit there and I meditate, and I just don't often like to turn the key and go. And that's the next, this is the next phase for me, because a lot of my old fears, tell me, do I got 2 minutes?
Well, you can have 2 minutes, sure.
I'll wrap up. I'll just wrap up saying that the mystical part of the program is so cool in that I don't know how it's going to work out. For instance, there was some resentment that I had, and I did the resentment sheets and I shared it with another person and I made the amends to this person. I still could not shake the resentment. And I heard Michael the other week talking about 552. And I started praying 552, praying for the person that they would get what I want for 2 weeks. And then I'm out walking. And who's out there walking their dog but this person that I had the resentment? And they invite me in their house for tea. And we have an incredible evening. So I'll end it there. My name is Jeff. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff.